At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
Welcome back, everybody, for another episode of the Witchful Thinking podcast. This week, if you can't already tell from the episode, we have a very special guest, Alyssa St. Hilaire. And you guys are really going to enjoy what she has to say because she's the author of a really cool book called 30 Real Signs from the Afterlife, Recognizing and Understanding Messages from Lost Loved Ones. So we've got a ton of great information that we want to go over today with Melissa and pick her brain on. And obviously the link for this book will be in the description as well as Melissa's website and her handles, so on and so forth. So this should be a fun episode. I'm super excited. We're so glad to have you. And this episode was a long time coming because I know that it was sitting in our inbox for a hot minute. So thank you for your patience.
Of course, anytime. You know, I the way I look at the world, everything happens for a reason and it happens when it's meant to happen. So we're good.
Agreed. So before we jump in, why don't you just give us like a little bit about yourself, your background, and then we can kind of dive into the juicy, extra juicy stuff regarding the book.
Sure. Yeah. So I was born and raised in rural Massachusetts, and I started seeing spirits when I was about 3 years old. And I think I mentioned this in the book. My grandfather had just passed away, and my grandma was in her bedroom crying. And I walked, you know, a little toddler, like I went walking in like, you know, Grammy, what's wrong? Why are you crying? And she was like, because your grandfather is gone. And I pointed to a chair in the corner and I was like, no, he's not. He's right over there. So yeah, super weird. And I don't remember a lot of the conversation because again, I was really little, but I know that my grandma, I was told afterwards that my grandma asked me a bunch of questions during that time, like about him, like things that I would never know as a three-year-old. And I knew these things. And from that moment forward, she never cried again. And when all the old men in the neighborhood tried to ask her out on dates and stuff like that, she would say, no, I'm still married, because she was like, he's still here, you know? And like, she was really the catalyst for me in studying all this. Now, she herself would have like never called herself a witch, at least in front of me. But my mom told me like a few years ago that before I was born, way back when, he used to say that he went to Salem, Mass to get himself a witch for a wife, because that's where they got married. So I'm like, what is going on here? There's like more to this story than I ever knew. But she would teach me things like how to talk to the birds, how to talk to cats, how to like go out into the forest and listen to the spirits, how to see the fairies, all this stuff. And I had this really magical childhood with her. And then sadly, when I was a teenager, she had an aneurysm. And so I lost that connection. And I kind of turned myself off to everything magical for a while. I think it was part of the, like the mourning process or something. And then when I was in college, a couple of friends were like, oh, you have tarot cards, you know, read me, you do a tarot reading. And I'd be like, I haven't done that since I was 12, you know, like as if it was somehow like childish or something. But they kind of convinced me and I started doing tarot readings again. I had other friends who were like, oh, you do tarot readings. Can you also do spells? So I started to like slowly get back into it. But at that time, I didn't have the education that I have now. And so a lot of the spells I did blew up in my face, like spectacularly.
And like a science project gone wrong.
Totally. Like just in the worst ways imaginable. You know what I mean? But it's part of the problem is I was dabbling, which is the, you know, they always say, don't dabble. You gotta know your stuff. But sometimes you have to like learn the hard way. And so then, you know, I moved to Los Angeles, tried to like break into the film industry here, which is horrifically difficult, as I'm sure you can imagine. And somewhere in that process, you know, I was still kind of like, you know, researching, I was still doing readings, but it was very quiet. I was not like out of the broom closet at all. You know what I mean? Like if you got to know me, you would know I did this stuff. People would come to me privately and we would like barter and trade system. Like, yeah, I'll do a spell, you know, give me a haircut or whatever. and I did that for a while until a few years ago, well, over a decade now, I think, but my ex writing partner and I, we've gone separate paths now, but we had this idea to do a documentary on witchcraft called American Witch. And that was sort of like what brought me like really fully back into the fold. Because as I was doing the research for that, I was like, wait a minute, this is my childhood. This is completely speaking to me. And when I found myself in a room full of witches, all of them talking about, oh yeah, I was talking to the trees yesterday. And oh, you know, my cat told me this. And I'm sitting there like, oh my God, I'm not a complete and total weirdo. Like, this is my tribe. These are my people. And my Griffin, who's sort of a mentor to me, he's like, Melissa, you know, you have the sight, right? And I'm sitting there like, shut up. What are you saying? What do you mean by that? And he's like, you know, you're a psychic, you're a medium. And even though inside myself, I knew this to be true, it was so hard to say it out loud, to be like, yes, I am a psychic. I felt like a complete nutcase. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, I can't tell people this. They're going to like lock me up and throw away the key. And, but I don't know. I just started taking classes. I did the work. You know what I mean? Like I read every book I could get my hands on. I went to like practice sessions, like training sessions, things like that. And kind of accidentally made myself an expert. Like that wasn't the intention. You know what I mean? Like
not a bad accident.
No, not at all. It's a total happy accident. And then one day I was like just sitting at home. This is during the lockdown, so everyone's losing their minds, you know, and that's really when my career took off, weirdly enough. And I got this message from a friend. We used to be a part of this like invite only club called Cloak and Dagger that doesn't exist anymore. And that's a whole other story. But she was like, hey, she's like, a friend of mine is an assistant to this film director named Darren Bousman, and he's doing this thing on Clubhouse, which, you know, one of those random apps that popped up during the lockdown. And he's like, yeah, he's looking for a mediumship expert, and I gave him your name. Do you want to like go and be on a panel? And I'm like, you know, I got nothing else going on. Like, let's do it. And so I joined this panel, and this is all leading to something. So I joined this panel. I end up meeting the strangest people, like Tori Spelling, Perez Hilton. But the one I was so excited to meet was Susan Slaughter, because she does the, you know, different ghost hunts and things like that. And she's the hostess with the mostess. And we bonded, and then she invited me onto an actual paranormal investigation. Now, this is something I had done for fun on my own, but never like officially. And so I joined her on that. It was terrifying and awesome, and it went really, really well. And from that, it just sort of took off. Like the next thing I knew, Callisto Publishing was getting in touch with me going, hey, we need an expert in your field to write a book about mediumship. Do you want to do it? And I was like, are you kidding me? I have been wanting to write a book about mediumship for the past 10 years. I just couldn't like get it together. Do you know, like I kept starting and stopping. I have like four different versions of the book.
Oh, wow.
I know. And actually what I end up writing is only about 50% of, I mean, of what is actually published is only about 50% of what I actually wrote. So I could totally do like a second book. Hello, Callisto. No.
I think you should, because this is very like bare bones. This is very like the foundation, right?
Totally. Yeah. This is like for beginners. It's just to kind of like, you know, give you the quick down and dirty, like this is how to do it. This is the bare bones. This is your like, you know, your calling card, if you will. Like if you want to go deeper, you can, but this is enough to just get your toes in the water, so to speak.
Right. And you talk in the book about how everyone naturally has it, and it's scary at first, and you're doubting yourself. And also something that you mentioned earlier, you said when you lost your grandmother, you turned it off. I think a lot of people, when they go through something traumatic young, the world goes gray. It just the grieving process is so harsh that you just you're numb, and it's hard. You lose that connection, but it's beautiful in this book because you're asking people to come back to it, even
Yes.
if they had it, if they lost it, if they've never tapped into it, which is so cool.
Oh, totally. 'Cause I really do to like the depths of my soul believe everybody is capable of this. Because to me, I mean, it's kind of like breathing in a weird way. Like it just happens. And that's how I was when I was little. And like you're right, like there's, you know, trauma, grief, fear. There's all these things that can shut it off because we kind of have to shut down and go in protective mode. Like, you know, I think my biggest reason for turning it off was because I knew now my grandmother, interactions with my grandmother would be vastly different than they had been. And I wasn't ready to accept her new role, if that makes sense. Like I couldn't accept that she would be now be an ancestor or a spirit guide or something like that. It's like I couldn't allow it, so therefore I had to shut off everything.
Yeah.
And when I finally opened back up again, she's my biggest supporter from the other side now, and it's amazing. Like I'm like, why did I turn that off all those years? But I think I had to. I think it's like a little self-preservation thing.
And divine time, it could, like you said, everything happens, the way it does when it does. So, but yeah,
Totally.
that's so cool. I mean, talking about like you had so many ways about how you could tap into this. Like, what for people who want to try or get back into it, out of all the methods you mentioned, which one do you think is the most successful, the one that's the easiest to kind of start with?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So I'm gonna go with meditation, and I can already feel like groans from people every time, because every time I say meditate, people, oh, I can't do that,
Brooke,
you
aren't you
know.
the same way?
Yeah, I'm very much just like, I'm thinking
Don't
about too many
want
things. I'm thinking about what I'm gonna eat after this. I'm thinking about what I wanna like, what music I wanna listen to after this. Like, I'm not really good at sitting there in the moment. I wish
Yeah,
I was.
meditation is hard, you know, and I have a noisy brain too, because I'm always like, I'm like you, like I'm like, oh, I got to do laundry later. Oh, I got to remember to go do that. You know, just like you get like the to-do list starts running through your head. But what I try to tell people is you don't have to sit in silence for meditation. Ultimately, you do want to be in silence because that's the best way to sort of like hear the spirits, hear other people, things like that. But in the beginning, it's more about getting in touch with like how do you feel, without thinking about spirits or anything else, how do you feel in your body? What are you thinking about? Like what goes through your mind? And instead of like latching on to any of those thoughts, kind of letting them flow over you, like, oh, I'm hungry, I'm gonna eat something and some tofu later or whatever, you know what I mean? You just kind of like let it come in and let it flow on. And then once you get sort of past all of those thoughts and you can kind of stick it out, there's this like beautiful moment that happens. And now, granted, it took me a long time to get there. But there's this beautiful moment that happens where all of a sudden, all of that stuff kind of just starts to quiet down, and you get into this like this little lulled state. And once you get there, that's your moment. That's when you can start to hear spirits. That's when they sort of will start whispering to you. And then it becomes asking the right questions, because for the most part, spirits are not going to just show up. I mean, okay, as I'm saying this, I'm like, you're lying, because so sometimes spirits do just show up like, ta-da, but like that is a thing that will happen, but it's not like that's not a common thing. It's more that they're just kind of hanging around waiting to be called on. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they're just sitting there like twiddling their thumbs, like, okay, ask me to do something. I'm kind of bored here. Ask me a question. And so it goes. So I would say meditate to find your quiet so you can get to that point where you can listen. But then once you get to that point, don't just listen. Ask them to say something. Ask them to, you know, like I asked my friend Amy after she passed away and I dedicated the book to her. I was like, just do anything. You know what I mean? Just show me stuff. And she did. She was like, I was in the middle of a seance with a bunch of friends. It was like a practice seance. I was in the process of teaching myself, like, how do I do this? Like, if I want to host a seance. So I was trying everything. And there was a moment during the seance where we got kind of a lull. And so we were all sitting there like, what do we do now? And my friend elbows me and is like, ask Amy to show up. And I'm like, oh, you think that's like, should I, is that good? I don't know. Should I do it? She's like, just do it. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, Amy, are you here? Can you make yourself known? I kid you not, within moments, right behind us, a book moves on the bookshelf. And I'm like, did that just happen? And a couple of people are like, did a book just move? So after we were done, we get up, we go to see what book moved. The book was How to Be a Psychic.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, if that's not the most on your nose message from beyond, I don't know what is.
Right. What kind of seance was this? Is this just like where it was open to anyone coming through to contact?
Yeah, totally. We had a big round table. I want to say there was a lot of us there, maybe like 10 people, like crammed around this big table. And we had a couple of different gadgets, you know, going. So we had dowsing rods, we had pendulums, Ouija board, which I know a lot of people are like weird about, but I'm not. And we were just like, and we, none of us were really the leader per se, but we were all just kind of testing the waters and just kind of saying, anybody who's around, show up and make something happen or talk to us. And the weird thing about that night, though, is it kind of went off the rails at one point, so we had to shut it down, which can happen in a seance, especially if you're still like learning and you're kind of haven't really figured out how to hold the space properly. That this can happen. The spirits can come in, just some kind of like trickster spirits will come in and just mess everything up. But at one point I looked across the table at my friend Sheena Metal, and I was like, there's a man standing behind you. And she's like, what? Who? Where? Mm-hmm. And she's like a really powerful, good psychic medium as well. But sometimes we can't see our own people. Like sometimes it's easier to, you know, anyway. She's like, describe him for me. So I describe what the man looks like. And she's like, oh, that's so weird. Cause he's still alive. I don't know why you're seeing him. And I'm like, oh, that is weird. I don't know either. She calls me like a week or so later and she's like, oh my God, Melissa, you're not going to believe this. But that person that you saw that I said was alive, he had just passed away.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I was what? I know. I was like, oh my God. I was like, thank you so much for telling me, because I thought I was broken in that moment, you know? But, you know, at the same time, I'm so sorry for your loss. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot.
I would be I'd be so upset if I was like sitting there and you saw somebody and I'm like, That's crazy, Melissa, because they're still alive. Picking the phone, I'm like, ah, answer.
Right? I know. It was totally crazy.
That's so nuts. My grandma, I think it was technically like her uncle. Yeah. Yeah, it was her uncle. His name was Elsie. And for a hot minute before he died, she was taking care of him. She'd like go up to his house and like sit and just, you know, talk to him all day. He was super nice. And she told me that the night that he died, she remembered waking up and just hearing somebody say like Peggy in her ear. And then she's like, I immediately knew he was gone. Like, I knew it was him. I knew he was gone. And then his daughter like called her at like 9 in the morning and was like, yeah, he passed in his sleep last night. And I'm just like, oh, it gives me chills every time. Like, that stuff is so freaky.
It is. It's super freaky.
It happened to me when my Oma, so my mom's mom's last sibling passed away. I can't remember the exact time. I want to say it was like at 10:18 at night or something. And I'm just chilling at home, reading a book, minding my own business. And then I just like get this vision of a horse running in the field and then falling and breaking its leg in a gopher hole. Very specific vision. And I'm like, where is this coming from? And I look at the clock and I remember the time. I get the call in the next morning. So then I'm at the funeral next week in Nashua, near Boston. And they're like, time of death was like 10:18. I'm like, get out of here. Go, everyone go away.
Wow.
It's wild. They just kind of have their own way of like letting you know, but I don't feel like it was her letting me know. I felt like it was the family letting me know, and they were all farmers. So the horse made sense, you know?
Totally but makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild when that happens. You just know, sometimes I get a vibe and I'm like, uh-oh. You know, mine, I don't like this one. I get a white pigeon. Very, very like, oh, so I'm about to get news that someone's passed. And every time it was like my neighbor's husband or someone who was sick or like a sudden death in the family. And I'm like, every time I see a white pigeon, I'm like, it has to be all white. It can't have spots. I'm just like, shit. Okay. Give it 2 days and I'm going to hear something. And I always do.
Wow, that's intense. And birds are considered psychopomps, which are messengers. It's a Greek term for messengers of the dead. And, you know, anything that can basically fly is considered one of them. And they're sort of like sent from the underworld to like let us know. So, wow, that's really intense.
Yeah, birds are birds of the word over here. They always be leaving messages, you know. But that's incredible. Like you mentioned a lot of signs, like obvious to us, cause we're tuned in, but, you know, what are some signs people can start seeing that they never really realized, oh, like that's someone from the other side trying to contact me. Like, what are the most common ones you hear about the most?
Oh, well, you know, honestly, wind is like the most common and I think the most easily dismissed because
really?
Yeah, because like, you know, it's a kind of normal, you know, wind is normal. It happens all the time. But there are times when the wind is particularly odd and that's when I find it's more likely to be like a spirit interaction. So to give an example, I was taking care of this, like I'm a cat rescuer. I just can't help myself. I'm always like getting them fixed and doing TNRs or finding them homes or whatever. And there was this one neighborhood cat who he was impossible to bring inside. Every time I brought him in the house, he howled and freaked out. But I had this plan, like it was like a stepped plan of like, I'm going to work up to like getting him used to me. And then I'm going to capture him. I'm going to get him fixed and I'll just do the TNR and at least he won't make, you know, more babies. And so I was literally days away from being able to get the cage and get everything set up and the vet appointment. And he showed up in my driveway, passed away. And no, not a scratch on him. So it was very bizarre, very mysterious. And it looked like someone had laid him there. So I don't know if he got poisoned somehow or what happened, but, and as a result, I'm constantly telling people don't use rat poison. It's awful. But I took it really hard. I was crying for days. And I felt like I had failed, you know, like I felt like this was my fault. I didn't get him fast enough. And I had a moment where I went out in my yard and I was just in the middle of my yard, bawling my eyes out. Totally calm day. There's not a wind anywhere. And I just kind of said out loud, I was like, Sam, are you? His name was Samwise Gamgee, because Lord of the Rings name. And I was like, Sam, are you here? Are you okay? Are you mad at me? Can you just show me a sign from the other side that this was supposed to happen, as horrible it as is, because I'm having a hard time with this. And the next thing I know, a wind picked up just around me. Like, I looked up to the tops of the other trees. None of the other trees were swaying in the breeze. It was literally just in the couple of little trees that were right around me. And it was just on the branches that were facing me. So even the branches on the other side of the trees weren't moving.
That's
And
wild.
it just went shh, like around me. And because, as I know it might not sound like it, but I am a skeptic at heart, because I'll be like, I'll ask for something like this, experience it, and then be like, okay, was that really a sign? Or was that just like a random thing that happened? And so I'll be like, okay, all right, I acknowledge that this thing just happened, but I'm still not believing it. So, Sam, if you're really here, could you just give me one more sign? Just one more sign that you're here. And immediately after that, a hummingbird swoops
Oh.
around my head. And this is, I mean, I see hummingbirds a lot. They like my yard, they like my flowers. I've never had one swoop my head before. The bird flew so close, I could feel and hear very clearly, like
They're
the
like a
rapid,
bee. Yeah.
yes, like a loud
Yeah.
humming. I was like, what is happening? This is crazy. And I was like, okay, all right. This is real. I'm gonna, and I had to write it down so I wouldn't lose it. And I mentioned it in the book because I was like, this is like, it's a real thing that happens. So wind would be one of the signs, and birds, obviously, like birds are definitely one of the signs. They just, it's just a weird thing. They'll show up, and it kind of like almost doesn't even matter what kind of bird it is to a certain degree, but certain birds carry extra messages with them just based on, you know, historical associations and things like that.
Right. I could give you my rundown of what all the bird messages are for me, but they may not be for everyone else. Like when I see a red-tailed hawk, it means that like when a lot of them shows up, it means I'm in a dangerous situation, that I whether it's a relationship, I'm in a toxic situation, I'm not in a good place. If I see one come up, it reminds me to just deal with things calmly and not get too upset, not overthink it. I know that like spiritually they're meant to be like you need to see the big picture, like don't sweat the small stuff. Robins show up when they want me to sing. Finches show up when I need to write a song. Storks and herons show up when I'm procrastinating and need to wrap something up. I'm going to miss an opportunity. It was really actually this was a recent one. Cardinals are very much like I just think they're like guardian angels, like they're something else.
Yes.
And we don't have a lot of birds where we live out here, and we had a bit of a scare with my day job with my partner, and we hopped on a call with our coach because we're like, are we about to lose everything? And while we're in the meeting, she's just this most calming, wonderful person. She's like, no, everything's okay. This is what's going on. It's not your fault. This is how you fix it. And right as I found a moment of like, oh, I'm not going to lose my job, a female cardinal landed right on our windowsill to say hi. And I was like, okay, that's reassuring. It, you know, like they all just kind of come and have their own little thing. I always think chickadees and house sparrows are like my Oma saying hi because
Aww.
she was just, I don't know. They just like, I find that certain deceased relatives have their own little animal they send you, like their own little thing. And
Yes.
you know, it's them saying hi. And I found every time I'd think about her, I'd hear a chickadee. And then anytime I'd be missing her, I'd hear one too. And I'm like, okay, like, you know. So, and that can, it like, this, the thing is like these birds can be completely different for someone who lives in South America. But as long as you're willing to listen and match your feelings, you kind of know.
Oh,
So.
totally. Yeah. And the funny thing is, even like seeing one thing two different people can see the exact same animal or bird or creature and mean vastly different things to them depending on so many things. And that's like part with the book, like I would try to like give examples, like personal examples and then, you know, historical examples, but then also kind of pound into everybody's head over and over again, like use this just as a launching pad, you know, find your own spirit language, your own spirit vocabulary, because you're right, it's so true. Different people will have like their own assigned animals. For example, my grandma always shows up as a mockingbird.
Oh, that's cool.
Right? And it's and it's because right, like one of the last things I remember her saying to me was she must have had a premonition that she was going to go because or something was going to happen, because she had said that if she could come back to life as anything, or you know, come and visit as anything after passing away, she would want to be a bird because she, you know, she wants to know what it feels like to fly. And I remember asking her, well, what kind of bird? Because she, you know, she loved birds. She loved all the birds. So like, which one? And she said a mockingbird, because then she could sing every bird song. And that stuck with me. And I thought, oh, that's so beautiful. And when I bought this house, because like everyone was like, don't buy a house in California, it's so expensive, blah, blah, blah. And like we were renting and it was getting more and more expensive. It got to a point where we were like, when we did the math, it would actually be cheaper to buy a house than to continue renting, which is absolutely absurd. Mm-hmm. And so we bought the house, and but we were still panicking because we're like, oh my God, this is a huge commitment. And we have this giant tree in the front yard. And I went outside and I was standing there and I was just like, oh, did we screw up? Was this a really stupid, bad idea? And all of a sudden I hear this bird song, and then it changes, and then it changes again. And I'm like, oh, that's a mockingbird right in my tree. And it stayed there. It just moved in, and periodically it goes and comes back, or maybe it's a new one. Maybe it's died and it's a new bird. I don't know. But like every time I'm going through anything, I step outside and I hear this mockingbird and I'm like, oh, okay, thank you, Grams.
Yeah. Always there. This is more of like the gentle side of things, because you know, there's like butterflies will visit people, and certain animals like, you know, foxes, deers, cats, dogs, they'll cross people's paths and they know. And it sucks that cats have been so bastardized, because like I think they're good luck.
Oh, totally.
They're like saying like good things are going well, protect yourself, you know, like they're very cool about it. But the like, you know, they're cool about their message to me. Everyone else is like why can't we adopt out black cats? I think they're the best familiars. I'm on my third. But there's like when it comes to poltergeists, like because things are moving, people think it's like a bad spirit being aggressive, but like that's actually another way someone could really be trying to get through to you.
Like, oh, you know, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually had a weird thing happen to me shortly after my friend Amy passed away. She was a lover of Carlos Castaneda, if you know who he is or who he was. And she studied a lot of stuff that he had taught, like spiritually speaking. And one of the things that he had taught her was this thing called Tenskriti, which is really basically yoga, but it's like his spin on yoga. And so she would always tease me every time I did yoga. She's like, oh, you're doing the Tenskriti. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And so after she passed away, I'm in my living room and I was doing my little yoga routine. And this is a while ago. So it was like a, you know, a DVD and a TV, like hooked up to an old stereo system with a big dial knob. And as I'm in the middle of a move, all of a sudden it gets really quiet and I'm like, oh, that's weird. So I look at the dial and I'm seeing the dial turn,
oh my gosh,
low. And I was like, what? And I was like, Amy, is that you? And I hear in my head like a giggle sound. And then I'm like, hey, I'm trying to do my thing. Can you please put the volume back up? And vroom, the volume goes back up. And I was just like, okay, I think I'm actually done for the day now. Because I was a little like, I was like a little weirded out by it. But at the same time, you know, I was like, she's just saying hello. She's, you know, this is not a poltergeist. This is not a possession. This is not, I have to go get a Catholic priest and do an exorcism. You know what I mean? Like, this is just my friend swooping in to just mess with me. And, you know, she was kind of a trickster in real life. So.
Right. It's very playful. And I mean, okay. So I want to ask you this, but I'm sure Brooke's along with it. We both watched The Deliverance recently, and it's kind of like the hot thing on Netflix right now. Have you seen it? What's your opinion on it? Do you feel that that's a thing that legit happens? Like, you'd know better than anyone. So,
you know, actually, it's so funny they brought this. I haven't watched it yet. And it was funny because I just this morning, before work, I turned on Netflix while I was having breakfast, and I was like, oh, I have to watch The Deliverance. And I was like, oh, I'll watch it tonight. So that's, oh, man, I wish I watched it this morning instead. But yeah, I haven't seen it yet, and I don't really know enough about it to answer. Can you tell me quickly?
Well, I don't want to give away too much because okay. It is a good watch, but essentially, do you feel that this is a hot topic in the spiritual space too? Like, from your experience and what you know and what you've studied, are there spirits out there that are that horrible? Like, and they all bring it back to Satan, and like, are there demons, and is there actual like possession? What have you seen and known?
Okay. So I do believe that there are, I feel like I've experienced demons, but I gotta say that's not like a lot. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would say demons are maybe 1% of the encounters I've experienced, maybe even less than that. They're very rare. And it also depends on your definition of demon. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. there are some people, some particularly very religious people, but even just regular, there are people who will kind of call almost anything that feels negative a demon. And it's like, well, that doesn't, just because an entity or a spirit is negative does not necessarily mean it's a demon. And also, what is your definition of demon? Because there's also the daemon, you know what I mean? Where it's like, they're just spirit guides and familiars, and it's just another name for them. So that gets kind of tricky with semantics and nuances. But I would say, if you're just saying like a demon is a non-human evil entity that wants to mess with you, and its whole purpose is to feed off of you or take possession of your body or whatever, I would say that's a very low percentage. You know, that's highly unlikely to happen. I think people are more afraid of it happening than it actually ever happens. But that's not to say that I haven't also encountered some negative spirits, because what are spirits? Most spirits are people who have died, and some people, a lot of people, are negative people. So, you know, that's kind of how I deal with it now. Like, you could be thinking that you're experiencing a demon, and it's really just some grumpy old guy who hates everybody. Do you know what I mean?
Get out of my house, throws a mug across the room.
Completely and totally. I mean, they're just angry, hateful people, you know?
Right.
There's also entities that are non-human that I think a lot of people immediately assume are demons, but they're not demons per se. They're just elementals or fairies or angels or things that we can't even comprehend or even know how to label. And some of those entities, they could even be ultra dimensional or alien for all we know. And some of these entities we may think of as demonic only because they are non-human, but also because they're non-human, they don't abide by the same morals and ethics that we abide by. So they don't really understand good from bad the way that we do. And even humans, depending on the culture that you live in or the time frame in which you live, good and bad are going to have different definitions, and morals are kind of like a swaying spectrum depending on of so many factors. So I feel like sometimes it's like, oh, it's a demon, but really it's just some ancient primordial, you know, bog creature that is like likes the smell of tobacco, so comes and hangs out in your house because your uncle came over and smoked a cigar or some weird thing. Do you know what I mean? And maybe they'll knock over a couple of things. And maybe they'll even have an unsettling, weird vibe. But that doesn't necessarily mean you need to exorcise them. You know what I mean? Or, yeah. Or if you do, you just say like, hey, bro, like I'm not cool with this. Can you just float someplace else? You know?
Yeah. So it's like a party spirit who's like a bit of a dude, bro.
Totally.
It came to crash and you're like, no. And that's I have encountered some strange things over the years. And the thing that is, I was given a chant on how to first get a sleep paralysis, because that's fun. But secondly, to just, you can be like, you're not welcome here. Get out, you know, and like people, as much as you're like, you're reaching out and asking for your loved ones on the other side to give you a sign, you can also command spirits you don't want around to leave, and they do. It's crazy.
It's you know? True though. It really works. Mm-hmm. And there's a technique that I learned it in a traditional British craft class, traditional British craft, if I'm saying it right. And basically, if you have like your own witch's broom, but also you could use any broom, because the idea is just the broom itself is a symbol of cleansing your space. You take the broom and you take the handle of the broom and you go and you pound it on like northeast, southwest walls. And with each pounding, say like, I declare this space mine. You're not allowed to enter this space without my permission. And if you're in this space currently without my permission, you have to flee. And, you know, whenever I'm hired to do a house cleaning for somebody, that's one of the first things that I do, to just sort of like declare the boundaries of like what is allowed here and what isn't. You know,
that's a cool cleansing spell. I've never heard of one like that before. I actually really like that. Want to try it. And you said you learned that from like a British background?
Yes. Yeah. It was, so there's the store out of which I teach is the Green Man, and also do readings out of the Green Man. And the coven that runs it is the Ked Coven. And they're like a British traditional craft coven. And so they kind of, and Griffin, who sort of infuses all his knowledge, he's from England. So he's like, you know, got all this old knowledge that he brought over here. And I'm not in the coven, because there's like one little thing about the coven that I disagree with, but, and also they haven't asked me, and also I'm kind of a loner witch, but.
So can you spill the tea?
Right. I know. but they kind of, they're sort of, they don't teach reincarnation in their coven. And I believe in reincarnation. It's funny because I've had people say to me, but you're a medium, you can talk to spirits on your side. How can you believe in reincarnation if you're a medium? I'm like, I'm like, I believe in it because I'm a medium, because of what the spirits have told me. So.
Right. And a question for you about reincarnation. This is just a hunch, but reincarnation on Earth time takes quite a while. Like, it's not like, let's be real. I'm pretty sure my cat, there was a 2-week window, and my cat is a reincarnation of my old cat, because I loved him so much he came back to be a complete shit disturber. But, you know, like actual, like you have your star family that I've heard of these that you travel with, and reincarnation can take like hundreds of years sometimes. Like sometimes you just chill out on the other side and you're like, all right, I'm going back.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, it's like, listen, like I know you, it's not instant, you can't see it in this Earth time, but like, calm down. Don't like dismiss it entirely.
Right. Yeah, totally. And that's the thing, is it does take a long time. And like, when I started to realize that I could talk to spirits on the other side, because for most of my life, I could hear them, I could sense them, I knew that they were there, but it didn't dawn on me that I could have conversations with them. Once I realized I could do that, I was like, oh my God, I have so many questions. And one of the first things I asked was, you know, is reincarnation real? And what my grandmother told me, and I don't know if I've said this in any other interview, but what my grandmother told me was that there's like levels, like hierarchy to death. And there's the initial ascension. So like you're you exist on the earthly plane in a physical body, and then you die. And the first thing is ascension, and not everybody even reaches that. There are a lot that just kind of stay stuck here, and
Like
they're like,
purgatory?
yeah, like purgatory or shades, or they don't realize that they're dead. Like maybe they died, maybe they were ch a child,
Oh,
or they
wow.
died so fast that they haven't really embraced it yet. And so you have that level. So first you've got to ascend. You've got to sort of like even after death, pull yourself out of the earthly plane to a higher level.
Wow.
And then once you ascend, then you're kind of in this weird middle ground where you're sort of like you start out reassessing your whole life and like reviewing all your mistakes and learning and things like that. And then there's like a period of time of trying to figure out then, okay, do I feel like I've learned the lessons that I need to learn? Am I good to stay here or do I want to go back? And if I stay here, then what's the next stage? And do I become a spirit guide? And then there's sort of like spirit guide and training and or do I just want to float around and
Wow.
just do nothing? You know what I mean? And then she said that then there's another layer, like once you've established yourself there, then there's another layer where you transcend death even, and that they don't even really know what happens. So it's like there's a death within death to another plane of existence that is beyond the dead.
Almost
So
sounds what is it, Brahmin, or what the Hindu, like you always want to go back to that. And it's so crazy you saying that, because I'm thinking, oh man, the Egyptians were right, first of
yes.
all. And then the first medium I met with after my Oma passed away, the message she had for me was, my ascension was very comfortable and quick, and she ascended very quickly, and it was peaceful. And I'm just like, what the hell does that mean? You can just confirmed it, but I understand what you're saying based on what I've been told from the other side. And oh my God, I'm just gonna geek out with you right now. I haven't gone to a past, like someone who does, is it past life regression? I haven't gone to anyone because I've actually received a lot of them through meditation. Old boy howdy. And it's a lot, it's too much. And sometimes I get told, oh, it's your last life, have fun with this one, like YOLO. And I'm like, no, I feel like a 120-year-old trapped in an almost 40 body. I hate it. But it's just fascinating how you say this, because it's like, okay, this is like your last time hanging out on Earth, and then you're going to ascend, and then it's like you're going to have a death after death. It's like, ho, I'm ready. Does this mean I
Right.
get a good night's sleep? Like, what's this about? But this is just so fascinating, because I know a lot of people have, questions about this, and obviously a lot of monotheistic religions have said, no, reincarnation is not the name of the game. What? Why do you think they do that?
I've often wondered that, and I can't help but wonder if it's some kind of like, I always go back to control. You know what I mean? Because I feel like so many religions have been bastardized over time. Like maybe the initial intent was pure and was with a good intention. But over time, they get bastardized and more rules get slapped down. And I feel like it's largely to control the populace, to sort of shut us off from experiencing the beyond. Because if they know that if we have that direct connection, that we'll get all the answers that we need and we don't really need them anymore.
Right. It's like, how do you control people? You keep them poor, uneducated, and in fear, which they did that. And that's the thing, is like, if you don't feel like, because having that direct, everyone has their own relationship with the other side, but having that, it just makes life so much more purposeful or meaningful, especially when you're able to contact your deceased ones and know that they're around and they're helping you and guiding you. And it's like, taking that away from people, it's going to make them
Totally.
reliant on whatever system of control they've got in place, right?
Yeah, because then you're like, you just you feel so isolated and alone. And then I feel like once they've kind of like indoctrinated you into being isolated and alone, then that's when they can swoop in and save you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you need to be saved.
I know. So yeah,
Oh,
I mean,
God.
and I don't mean to be like a total downer about religions, because I do acknowledge that many of them help a lot of people. I have a lot of religious people in my family, and some of them have found a lot of comfort in that. I personally just never have.
No, and all the I have a lot of Christian friends who are like Christian mystics. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, they're very connected to the angels and they're deceased. And that's the thing, it
Yes.
comes back to what you do and what you teach. Like, there's a connection with the other side and our loved ones and those, no matter what religion, no matter what you practice, I find the ones who are just like connected to the other side are like the coolest about everything, you know? And they're like, ah, that part of religion is that part of our church is bullshit. Like,
Right.
even I know that, I'm over it, but they let them, you know, think they have it all together.
Totally. Yeah.
I know you have quite a bit of background, like Brooke put it in our show notes, like you have different teachings from different backgrounds. Like, where do you find you found the best information, you felt the most connected to, like, you know, in your studies and what you've become an expert in?
Wow, that's a really good question. I'm like, and my brain is scanning through them all. So let me quickly run back to the beginning. So when I first started dabbling in all of this stuff, I was Wiccan. That was my introduction to witchcraft. And I want to say that that was a really good foundation for me to have, because I came from no structure, because I was not raised religiously. Like, my parents were agnostic. They were both raised religiously, but I was raised with nothing. So, I mean, my Catholic grandmother would periodically steal me away to mass and try to convert me, but it never
Oh
took.
Lord.
Yeah. And my Protestant grandmother was she was like the Christian mystics that you mentioned, where she'd be like, oh yeah, well, this, you know, those are just parables and stories. It's not real, you know. But like, so anyway, I had no structure. So when I first started getting interested in witchcraft, I think I was looking for structure, and I found that in Wicca, because Wicca to me was kind of like church for witches in a weird. I don't know if that. I mean, and that's no disrespect to Wicca at all. Like, when I say that, I mean that. That comes from a place of love, because I was looking for structure, and then at a certain point, I found myself like kind of reverting back to my true nature, which is like wildly inconsistent. And I kind of fell into Egyptian studies at that point. And I have to say that of all of the magic practices that I have studied and practiced, I'm also initiated into a Hecatean covenant, and like I said, I've studied a British traditional craft. I've studied a couple of other things that I don't actually practice, but like, I've studied some Norse, whatever. I work with runes, but I wouldn't consider myself like a Norse practitioner. I've studied voodoo and hoodoo and Santeria and like a whole bunch of things, just wanting to fill my head, you know, with information, but I don't really practice any of those. But Egyptian magic to me was the absolute freaking strongest magic I ever practiced. And that was the magic that when I was younger, I was about in my 20s when I practiced that, and I'm 50 now, and it completely destroyed me. And I say that in the best way possible, because it was so strong, it was so powerful, and I was not ready for it. You know
Like,
what I
it
mean?
just like leveled you energy wise when you were done.
Totally. Yeah. And I learned. I'm glad that I practiced it when I did, because I had to. I think I needed a crash course in power, and now that I'm older, I find myself wanting to go back to that. Like, I've studied all this other stuff, and I'm kind of coming full circle, where it's like, oh, this is the root of all of it. This is where all the magic came from, I read a I'm still reading it. I was going to say, I read this book, The Three Occult Philosophies, and I'm still reading it, because it's a huge tome. It's just so much information. And as I'm reading through it, it's like, oh, wait a minute, this is just bringing me back to Egyptian. It's like everywhere, every direction I look, it brings me back to Egyptian magic. And it's like, okay, this is your base. And from that, I know this is like a big answer for a question.
No, but fascinating. Continue.
But from that, when I strip away all of the outside layers from that, I get to the rarest elements of it, and that is the elements. So mm-hmm. then it becomes like, oh, okay, so I'm working with earth, air, fire, water. I'm working with north, east, south, west. I'm working with the earth, not as an element, but as a being. Mm-hmm. I'm working with nature. I'm working with the planets. It's kind of, and spirits. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's sort of like it all boils down to that, if that makes any kind of sense.
Right. And it seems like most of the base, like the echoes of Egyptian magic are everywhere. And that's even what, you know, I was raised Roman Catholic, but the Christian faith had tried to band-aid over, but the holy water, the rituals, like there's so much that still comes through from all the way back then, because even the cross was actually like the four directions. They just, like, we all know historically, like, he wasn't crucified on that cross. Like, let's be real. Like, right. You know, it's just, there's, when you start going down the rabbit hole, you're like, oh. So I mean, that makes total sense.
It's crazy. And it's so true, because, you know, I'm thinking about like just my days when I was, you know, dragged along to mass. And so we had, yeah, there was the holy water, and then of course the wine, and mm-hmm. then there's the bread, which is the body of Christ, but also that's earth, you know, and then there's the incense that they're, you know, swaying back and forth. So there's your air, and then there's all the candles everywhere. So there's your fire. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's everywhere.
He's like, but totally not pagan. We're not pagan. It's like, right? Are you sure? Because I have questions. Seriously, even the bell, when they ring the bells, I'm like, excuse me, are we clearing the room? Like,
yes, I know. I always tell people, I'm like, Catholicism is the witchiest religion I have ever experienced in my life.
It is. Brooke, you ever been to Catholic mass?
Actually, you know what? I did go one time in sixth grade with my friend, and I remember thinking that the church was haunted because the radiator was rattling really crazy in the background. And I remember the wafers going up there and having a wafer, and I just looked at her and like, I was just like, this tastes like shit. Like, you can't say that. Like, we're in church. And I was like, this is gross. Like, this just tasted like ass. And her mom never invited me back to church.
She's a witch.
I mean, it tasted like paper.
Yeah. It tasted like rice paper. It's so weird. Rice paper. There you go.
I was like, ooh, snack time. Like at my grandma's church, they gave us real bread. And I was like, I wish that there was more, because like I want some of this, but
I'll come on Love on Jesus for free bread. Are you kidding me?
For real. I was like, I'll love
That's
on
how
Jesus.
They get you.
I'll love on Jesus for some free bread, some free carbs. But the rice paper was not it for me. I just thought those things were, I thought it was so funny. Oh, and I remember also being a kid and being given grape juice, but then at the Catholic church, they gave me real wine, and I was like, this feels illegal. I feel like I should go tell my grandma.
Oh God. And the thing is that I found out later, it's like this cheap ass, like low percentage Jamaican wine. Yeah. You know
yes!
about it.
And it's actually like,
it's actually like really not that bad, but it does feel illegal. It's just like discount.
Oh man.
Church is Poe.
And I was just going to say that wafers are only good after you've dipped them in the wine.
See,
nobody told me to do that. Nobody ever said that was how things were supposed to go.
I just see you getting booted out of the front doors for doing that. Like, sacrilege on levels. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she never invited me. I was never invited back. And you know what? That's okay.
Oh, mom, okay. Her mom tried to convert you, and it just didn't work.
No, not at all. And I remember saying, like, yeah, my grandma stopped forcing me to go to church at like age 14 for a reason. Like, that was the thing. You have like a, if you had a sleepover on a Saturday night and you woke up at your friend's on Sunday, it's like you would go to, you had to go to church with them. You didn't, that was the kicker. It's like, sure, she can stay Saturday, but we've got church in the morning and you're not getting out of it.
Yeah, I grew up in a Roman Catholic community. It was brutal. I never wanted to be at church. It was like extreme. Maybe that's why I like true crime. Like, it was just extreme story time. And they're going off about like Goliath and like David and Goliath and like being eaten by a pit of lions and all the crazy stories. And I'm like, I don't feel God's love right now. I'm terrified. Like, why are you telling me these? There's a lesson here. Like, excuse me.
I couldn't pay attention. I would just zone out. Because it would just be like monotonous and droning. Mm. And I think I'm fairly certain. I've never been diagnosed, but I think I have ADHD. But like, I couldn't like pay attention. So I would just start to like, oh, look at the pretty, you know, stained glass windows. And I'd be, yes, like in a way off over here in Never Never Land, trying to figure out what story is being told to me through the stained glass or like, you know, some other stupid thing. I just couldn't pay attention.
Yeah, what a religion. It's so dark. Like, they had the stained glass of like the 12, it's the 12 stations of the cross. I try, yes, to get this all in, but like, it's like, oh, you know, just Jesus getting stabbed, going to the cross, like, you know. I'm like, this is like terrifying. Like, I liked Halloween because you could dress up as whatever you want, and they said that was like sacrilege. But then you go in and look at that stained glass and you're like, everybody's dying a horrible death. Like, I don't know.
I know,
trauma, there's
the,
religious
the
trauma.
Roman soldier with a spear like poking at his side. Like, what? I don't want to see this.
Right. It's wild. I don't know why we got so deep into this. Oh, right. Roman Catholicism, yeah, being the most ritualistic. Amen to that. Anyone listening, I'm sure, can agree. But back to you with this book. Yes. You know, what do you hope that people get out of it and take from it? Like, what was the mission of the book?
So my mission with the book, I know, and this is going to sound kind of self-defeating, but in a weird way, it's so that people don't need me.
No, that's sweet. That's right? What a teacher would say, you know?
Yeah. Cause like, I mean, I know, don't get me wrong. I love my job. I love doing mediumship readings for people. It's like the highlight of my day. And I love teaching and all this stuff, but really, I so truly believe that everyone can do this for themselves, that I would love to see a time when nobody needs me anymore. They can, if they want to talk to their loved ones, they can just sit quietly in their living room and open up and receive the same messages that I can sort of filter for them, you know? And so that's really what it is. And there's sort of like a higher calling to that too, you know, because it's, mm-hmm, not just that I want everyone to awaken to their own intuitive gifts, but once you awaken to those gifts, once you can sort of tune in and feel other people and talk to spirits, the level of compassion that you start to experience is so profound, and you really start to believe that we are all one and that we are all together, and that it's up to us to, you know, make sure that the earth can provide for us and to keep the air clean and the water clean and to save animals and, you know, to help our fellow humans in time of need. And, you know, like, I don't want to get too political, but one of my least favorite expressions is when people like complain about handouts, because I'm like, is not the whole purpose of our existence to give handouts to people who are in need? You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And I find that when you tap into all these higher powers, you care more, you become more compassionate, and you want to help people more. So
that's
it's
beautiful.
Kind of, yeah, that's kind of like my higher minded reason for doing it, and to like I don't know. I know it sounds kind of grandiose, but like raise humanity up, if you will.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I don't mean to like turn it into something personal, but through meditation, when all the busyness went away, I think something that I struggled with that I know a lot of people struggle with is, why is this happening to me? Why is this person treating me poorly? Why did you die so suddenly? And having that connection and through your own meditation, whether you are finding it within your inner knowing and like the ancient wisdom that you hold in yourself, or you're getting messages from the other side, it starts to show you that, you know, there sometimes things in life happen and they're terrible and they fucking suck and there's no reason behind it. You just got to get through it. But sometimes you see a bigger picture and you're like, oh, but if that never happened, I wouldn't be here. And I'm grateful to be here. And then you start to learn, oh, wait, this isn't about me. That person was awful because they're going through it. And this is what I'm learning from it. And you just even teaching these tools, people may not always be connecting with their deceased loved ones. They may be connecting with themselves and something else that is giving them more knowledge. And, you know, it's beautiful. You're like, I want people to come together. And for essentially, you just want everyone to take care of themselves and one another. And that's totally. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spiritual self-care.
Yeah.
You know,
my friends that are a little bit like different than me will tease me and be like, oh, you just want everyone to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. And I'm like, okay, maybe I do.
Yeah. What's so wrong with that? We can make s'mores.
Exactly. You know, and I think it's important what you said too about, you know, taking those horrific moments and alchemizing them into something positive. For example, just to share a quick personal thing.
Of course.
So before I really took the major deep dive into really studying witchcraft and mediumship and all this stuff, I was still dabbling, I had a complete and total nervous mental breakdown where my heart was broken, I was betrayed, and I was very angry. I did not want to live on this planet anymore. I'm going to be honest. I wanted off. I wanted out of here. Mm-hmm. And obviously I got the help that I need. I got therapists and everything like that. I got, you know, that. But I also really turned to witchcraft during that time because that community was who saved me. You know, like they made me see my worth. See that I had gifts, see that I had a reason to exist, see that I had a life purpose. And they nourished me and they held me while I cried and they brought me, you know, back to myself. And it really, and even though it was horrific what I went through and it nearly broke me, I mean, to the point where I would like, just to be super real for a second, I had to call the National Suicide Hotline one day because I was like, I had a bottle of pills in my bathroom and I was close, you know?
Yeah, I've been there. Like, I get it.
So I was like, you know, I needed it. And once I came out of that and just through I hyper-focused on witchcraft and mediumship like you wouldn't believe and learned everything that I could and dove full in. And a whole new world opened for me and a world of acceptance, a world of understanding. All the weird stuff that's in my head was totally normal all of a sudden. And through meditation, I learned compassion first before I even learned about like compassion for all other living things, compassion for myself, because I didn't have that in that moment. You know, I
hated myself. Nobody teaches you that.
Exactly.
Wild. Yeah, why aren't we learning this?
I know. And it was like, oh my God, you really do have to learn to love yourself before you can really love another person. Like, why has nobody, I didn't really understand it until I got to that point, until I was so broken that I had to learn to love myself. And then it was like, everything changed. Doors that had been closed suddenly started to open. Opportunities. Dreams. Like my whole life, all I ever wanted was to have a book traditionally published. And I kept,
you did it.
I did it. And I kept,
yeah.
I failed for years. And then all of a sudden I was like, okay, that's it. I strip away all the masks. This is my, messy self, and then bam, the dream comes true.
When you're authentic. Yeah. When you stand in who you truly are. And so many people, oh man, they struggle with that. Like I get it. And it's like, I do believe in divine timing, but it's like, you got to that point and you made a choice and you have the strength. Like, you're still here because you're a strong person, and not enough people, especially like, I don't know what the proper word for it is, like suicide idealists, like they just don't understand. They think, oh, I'm so weak. How could I think that? It's like, yeah, but you're still here. It right. means you're strong. You know what I mean? But I think, based on what you're telling me, this is just my perspective, because I've been there. It's like, you don't feel like you belong anywhere. And if you're like, what is my community? And thank God you have that community, you know? And, you know, guys, like, if you need a coven, go get a coven. go find your people, ask for help, you know? And you, exactly. and remember, you did that. And I think that's beautiful. Like, thank you for sharing that, because I think a lot of people don't really, I get it as a creative too. Like, when you embrace everything about yourself, your gifts, your sloppiness, your quirks, your sassiness, whatever you are compiled of, whatever your alchemy is, I guess you could say, the ingredients to you, that's when the universe is just like, okay, you get yourself, I get you too, here's some things, here, have the things that you want. Clears yeah. a space for you. It's like the ocean parts, the clouds part, and you're like, okay, here's my book, hey guys, right. and totally. Good for you, like, you did it, like. You can tell you're such a strong and smart person. And this is, I loved your book. Thank you for reminding me something I've known my whole life. Like, I'm sure a lot of people who pick it up and read it are going to feel the same way. And wait a minute, be like, wait a minute.
Totally. And that's another goal with the book, is kind of to say, like, you're not alone, you mm-hmm. know, like, we're out here, you know, we all have these abilities, we can all do this, and all those weird things that might have experienced when you were younger, they're not so weird after all, you know.
Right. For all those who've been open to it the whole time. Yeah. That's beautiful. Well, thank you for writing your book, and thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, you know? Thank you so much. This is, I think we could talk for hours.
I think so too. Brooke has some crazy stories, especially in the time I've known her. She'll just message me out of nowhere and be like, you will not believe what happened to me in the car today. And I'm like, oh girl, tell.
Oh yeah. Actually, you know what? Maybe I'll tell Melissa the story. I'm sure that I've definitely mentioned this on the podcast a long, long time ago, but just so that you can hear it, because I feel like you'll think this is cool. So I think the coolest thing that ever happened to me, in a moment where I was like very, very sure that my dad's presence was with me, my boyfriend and I were driving to a restaurant, and I had just finished telling him, this was like 2 or 3 years ago, I had just finished telling him, like, you know what, like, I don't feel like I've felt my dad's presence in years, and I don't think I'm asking for the signs. Like, I think I've just gotten so used to thinking like, oh, signs exist. Like, I forget sometimes you do need to ask for them. And I was just telling him that as we were parking the car, getting ready to go into this restaurant. And my dad was a Harley fanatic. He was a motorcycle rider for a long time. And then I was born, and then he was like, all right, let me cut my bullshit off. But he was a Harley Davidson rider. That was his motorcycle of choice. So we pull in between these two cars, and I'm telling Jackson, like, as we're pulling in, like, I just need to start looking for more signs, you know, like, I know that'll make me feel more connected to him, and blah, blah, blah. We stop the car, and I look over to the left, and there's a car beside us that has a sticker on it that said Dad. I look over to the right, and there's a truck with the Harley Davidson logo sticker on it. Like, it makes me tear up every time I talk about it, because it was just so insane. I was like, oh my God. I pulled my car in between Dad and Harley. Like, Dad and Harley Davidson. That's insane. And like, we both just stood there, like, we were both just like shaking. I was like, I'm shaking. This is insane. Like, I don't think he would have believed me had he not been there and like seen that for himself. It was just like the most imminent, like, immediate direct message, like, yeah, you're not asking for the signs, like, ask and you shall receive, kid. Like, it was definitely my favorite like little wave from beyond. I very rarely have dreams with my dad in them, but every time I do, he always says kind of the same thing, like, oh, I haven't seen you in a minute, or like,
oh,
hey, it's been a while. And I'll wake up and I'll just be like, God, that felt so real. But like, I feel like I just got off the phone with him. But yeah, mm-hmm. stuff like that. It's like, once you remember, like, I do have the power to like ask for those things. I do have the power to ask to be shown these symbols or, you know, songs. My friend's sister died really suddenly and tragically last year in August, and all year long her sister's been communicating with her through music. And
wow.
she'll look at the clock, it'll be 2:22, and her sister, like, she'll look down and one of her and her sister's like favorite songs will like be playing on her phone. And I just think that's like so special, and I'm very envious because I wish like I'd had that with my dad, because I would absolutely be like, all right, dad, send me a message like through a song. But I'm sure he'd find a way if that was my preferred method of like receiving things from him.
You're going to get a song now. You're going to hear a song like 10 times before Christmas, and it's going to be your song with your dad. I know it.
The song at his funeral was Go Rest High on That Mountain. I think, and I personally wanted Stairway to Heaven because I thought that would have been a great song. He was very much like a, I don't know, the song would have just been perfect for him. That or Freebird. How cool would it have been to have Freebird at a...
Oh my God, yes!
Oh my God.
It's such a perfect song for that. I would be bawling my eyes out.
My TV just turned on by itself.
He's saying what?
My TV.
Something went wrong.
Did it turn on again?
Oh my God. Oh. What is happening?
Whoa.
What? Okay.
Y'all, I wish you could see this right now.
Oh, shit.
I have goosebumps.
I don't know. Like,
is the song going to play?
I don't know, like, what is happening in this moment right now, but like, oh, I've got chills, I'm about to start crying. Oh my God, what is happening? It keeps changing, like the background keeps changing. Now it's like water. Oh my God, for listeners who don't know what's going on, my TV just randomly turned on, and then it turned,
it said something set went wrong,
it said something went wrong, and then it's flipping through like scenic landscapes. And the time is also wrong. The time says 5:25. And it
is that his birthday?
No, he was born February 3rd.
And like, right, we talked about this.
Yeah. Oh my God. I don't know. I don't know like what that it's trying to like show me, but he definitely in that moment was just trying to tell me something. I just don't know what that was. God, that was so crazy.
That was totally crazy, but he's definitely trying to talk to you. I feel like he's trying to show you something, and I feel like that's he's showing you something.
All of these pictures have water in them.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I noticed that there was a thunderstorm and there was a waterfall,
and now it's blank.
Oh,
whoa.
Dad, but
stop,
it's blue.
Messing with my TV, Dad.
Wow.
Oh my God.
So episode.
Water would be emotions. So that feels like I would say he's telling you he loves you, because that's what that feels like. It feels like an emotion. It feels like, and you know, and water is also like, we think of like, you know, the ancestors going to the ancestral waters. That's like a very British traditional craft thing. And then of course, you know, you go across the River Styx to get to the other, you know, to get to the underworld or whatever. So it's like he's crossing waters of time to come and say, hi, and I love you.
Oh my God, that was so crazy. Oh, I'm literally crying.
I'm crying too, because your dad is always like tapping me on the shoulder. Ever since I read this book and I started meditating, everyone's coming to me. And like when you messaged me that day and you're like, Mia's really sick, she's at the vet and I smelt orange. I'm like, I think that's just your dad trying to tell you like you calm down. Like, you know, that was the first thing I thought of. I'm like, your dad is telling you stuff always.
Oh my gosh, dude, that is
a lot.
Emotional.
Does this always happen with you, Melissa? Everybody get her on your podcast.
It does. It almost always happens. I'll be like in the middle of an interview and the lights will cut out, or like voices will come through the Zoom. That actually happened in a class. We were doing a seance and a voice came through the Zoom and we were like, okay, that was a new one.
Hello?
And
also,
yeah. There's always some weird thing like that.
Oh my gosh.
That is not the first time I will say that I feel like he's made his presence known on this podcast. It happened about 4 or 5 episodes back where I don't remember what it was, but I was like,
you heard a sound, you heard knocking.
I heard knocking at the door and I was like, all right, Dad, that's enough. Oh my God. That's so crazy. The fact that I was just saying, like, I haven't like asked for one in a while. Like, I haven't heard anything in a while. Like, that's just wild. And now the screen is just gray. There's nothing on the screen.
Wow.
That was intense. Ooh. I need to process that one. I need to recover.
Same. Oh my gosh.
Oh wow, Mel, you're the real thing. You're the real deal. And it when that was happening, like you were going back to the ancient meanings. Like the only thing I was thinking about, you're like, everything is water. And I'm just like, well, duh, you're a Cancer and he's an Aquarius, and you know, like he is the water, you know, like it's like that's such a connection with you guys too. But hot damn, girl.
I'm convinced he really liked my rendition of Freebird because I was
like, I think so too.
He's just rocking out with you through the TV set.
Totally. And you're going to hear that song. You're going to hear either that song or Stairway or both. I want to say in the next couple of weeks, and it's going to be like, oh my God, it's going to pop. Like you'll be scrolling through social media and it's going to pop up or something like that.
I'll send you the second it happens. I'm going to like email or send you both a message. You'd be like,
yes, do it.
Oh my gosh, this was like such what a beautiful episode this has been. What a beautiful moment that was. Like I'm probably gonna like burst into tears after this if y'all can't tell. Very Cancerian over here.
You're holding it in until the floodgates open when the screen goes off. Oh my gosh, girl. No, it's amazing.
Well, as a Pisces, I can fully relate.
Oh, here we go. This is why we've been chatting it up. Just two fish over here. Yeah. Brooke's a Pisces moon.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, she's she's there with us. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Pisces moon, rising Virgo, trying to just make it through.
Did I tell you your rising season was going to be intense? Did I tell you?
Here you are.
Speaking of moons, are you going to do a little moon moment this week for us, Brooke?
Yes, I am. And this is the part right now where I'll drop the moon moment in. Enjoy. Hey, witches, time for our moon moment. Right now, the moon is in Aquarius and we're in the waxing gibbous phase, which is all about building energy and momentum. This is the perfect time to focus on growth and practice specifically in your spell work. Whether it's personal growth, gaining clarity on something, or just setting the stage for a major change happening in your life. With the moon in Aquarius, we're tapping into this really rebellious, like forward-thinking energy. So it's like a really good time for spells around innovation and breaking free from your old patterns, habits you want to break, just manifesting a future that really aligns with your most authentic self. So, you know, think outside the box. Try something new that you don't usually do with your spell work. Don't be afraid to take a little bit of a unique approach to your rituals. If you're someone who always works with crystals, maybe try working with candles. If you're somebody who burns things to, you know, finish off your spell, maybe try burying it. Aquarius is also tied to community and collective energy. So if you've been thinking about doing spell work with friends or for a larger cause, now is the time to gather that power.
The waxing gibbous phase amplifies all of this, helping you harness and grow that energy leading up to the full moon. So, witches, it's time to lean into our quirky visionary vibe of Aquarius and use this time to really push the boundaries, embrace change, and bring your future visions closer to reality. Let's get back to the episode.
This is so much fun. This took us a long time to make this episode happen, and I'm glad we finally were able to connect.
I've been so looking forward to it, and I just, you know, sometimes you just get a feel about people, and I was like, I have a good feeling.
Just all the knowledge that you bring, I feel like we could pick your brain for hours on every little like thing that you are an expert in. And, like, this whole time I've been over here reading on your website, I'm like, oh my god, and she did this and this, and she writes poetry, and holy shit, oh my god. Also, okay, wait, before this episode ends, I do have one question for you. What's a Victorian table tipping seance?
So the table tipping seance. So back during the Victorian era, when spiritualism really sort of, you know, popped up and became a thing, especially after the famous Fox Sisters, who, if you don't know who the Fox Sisters were, Google that. It's an interesting story, very controversial.
Mm-hmm.
But what a lot of seances would entail with these, they would use Victorian wine tables. So what they were round, kind of smallish tables that would often have a center post and three legs, which would enable it to be able to tip more easily than a four-posted table. And actually, as I'm talking to you, my laptop is on top of my seance table right now. And so everyone would sit around it and just put their fingertips on the table and kind of keep all other body parts away. And you would raise energy and call in the spirits. And what's supposed to happen is that the table will just very gently rock and tip. And you can make it sort of like tip in one direction for yes and another for no, or tip twice for once for yes or twice for no. You know, you kind of establish like what, how it's going to talk to you. But the craziest thing with my particular table, I started doing that and when it tips. So, okay, I'm kind of like getting all over the place. So back during the Victorian era, you had a lot of scam artists and a lot of fake mediums who would rig the table to like wildly jump about. That doesn't usually happen in real life. It's very, very subtle. And so what I would notice with my table, it would just be like the most, you would just kind of subtly feel it moving, almost as if you were on a rocking boat. Mm-hmm. But the other weird thing that would start to happen with my table is like, it's almost like the spirits would get a little frustrated when they couldn't move it enough, and they would start knocking from the inside. And I've had people attempt to debunk it. I've sat down with magicians who study this stuff and who create their own fake seances, try to figure out why my table knocks and they can't find anything. I've never been able, I don't know why it does it, because but it comes from the very inside in a place where you could not reach if you wanted to. Because it's the weirdest thing, and it will like answer questions for you. It's super bizarre.
It definitely had to have, I bet you it belonged to somebody somewhere back along the line of owners. It belonged to somebody.
Or that's like, something
haunted furniture.
Yeah, something's definitely attached to that, I feel. I don't think totally. I have furniture, but my friend Emma always tries to tell me I shouldn't buy my secondhand mirrors because I love vintage. He's always like, no, you're gonna open a portal. And I'm like, girl,
I mean, okay, yes,
not gonna.
You might open a portal. That is just true. That what she's saying is actually true. Like, there is a belief that particularly old mirrors can open up portals, but it's not that hard to stop that from happening. All you have to do is draw a sigil of protection on it and you're good to go.
Nice. I'll draw lipstick then. Shit.
Yeah. I mean, I use my own spit because I'm a weirdo, but
that's very primal.
Yeah.
A little spit shine.
Just a little boop boop.
Body, yeah,
totally. Yeah, Don't ruin your $50 lipstick. Just spit on your mirror.
Yeah, just spit on it. Go feral.
Oh, gosh. Well, Melissa, obviously, it was such a pleasure having you. And I'm so glad that you are now, we consider everybody who is ever a guest on the show as part of our little virtual coven. So we are so yes. happy.
You. Thank you.
Listeners, if you're interested in purchasing Melissa's book, I will put a link to it on her website. And I believe, is it also elsewhere? Like, are there other links that I should put besides your website for your book?
Yeah. So you can put the Amazon website. Oh, and I forgot to mention, there is now an audio book version that just came out. They hired a real professional actress to be the narrator and everything. I know, I feel so fancy. So that's on Amazon. And then you can also buy the book in person at Barnes & Noble. It's exclusively at Barnes & Noble bookstores.
Nice. Perfect. Wonderful.
You guys got to get it. If you had the gift before, it's going to come back real hard. Yes. In a good way. I promise, in a good way.
Go and pick up a copy and obviously go visit Melissa's website. There's like a ton of information there, a ton of different things that you can learn and glean from this woman, and follow her on Instagram. I'll put all of her handles and stuff in the description of this episode. And yeah, our paths are going to cross again, obviously, because I'm going to have to tell you when my dad sings like these songs to me from the ether. Yes. Me.
Yeah. We need you back to talk about spirit boxes, and there's so many things we didn't touch on today. So guys, she'll probably be back. Let's be real.
Anytime, anytime. This has been so much fun.
Okay, guys. We will talk to you next week. We love you. Be safe. Have fun and enjoy enjoy the beginning of Maybon, actually. Next week. Bye.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.